Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. We've got a great Wednesday show for you. Thanks for being here with us. We do appreciate it that you spend this time with us. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And our guest this hour is Sister Maristella of the Sisters of Life. If you don't know about the Sisters of Life, you should Google them and find out about them. It's a wonderful order of sisters. Sister Maristella is a former naval officer who now serves with the Sisters in Denver. And we're going to talk about the love of Jesus. And that maybe sounds like, well, that sounds a bit generic. Oh, no. We're going to talk specifically about the particular love of Jesus for each and every person and how we open ourselves and avail ourselves of that love. And I'll give you a clue. It doesn't have anything to do with what you can do, what you can make. It has to do with other things. Sister Maristella, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
Our number is 888-318-7884. I couldn't see you until just this second, and there's Our Lady of Guadalupe right over your shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm glad she'll be keeping an eye on you. you're coming to our conference in September. The whole conference is on Jesus. It's called Who Do You Say That I Am? But you're going to speak from your experience about the way, the particular way that Jesus loves each person.
Yes, that's right. Well, first of all, I'm so excited to come to the conference, and I'm really looking forward to it. I know there's going to be great people, great speakers there. And I really, at that conference, just want to, for people to know that God loves them for who they are, not for what they can do or produce or what they look like or how much money they have or anything like that. But God loves each person uniquely, personally, and his greatest desire is that we enter into his love for us and share in that love and then unleash it into the world.
Our number is 888-318-7884. If you have questions for Sister Maristella of the Sisters of Life regarding the love of Jesus, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. So I want to talk to you about your experience of the love of Jesus for persons, because, I mean, I suppose there's a certain way in which it is a natural kind of tendency that we have to overcome, that he loves us more when we're doing good and he loves us less when we've done bad.
You know, it's true. It's all of us struggle with this idea that maybe we have to earn God's love or that it can be taken away from us, or if we make a mistake or if we fail, suddenly he abandons us. But in the earliest pages of the Old Testament, if you look in the book of Exodus, we see when God encounters Moses in the burning bush, or when Moses encounters God in the burning bush, he asks him his name. In this incredible moment in salvation history, God reveals himself to Moses as the God who is. I am who I am, showing that he is presence. He is being itself, sheer existence, and that everything is contained in him, and we share in his being. He tells us in the New Testament, that I am with you always in the Gospel of Matthew. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so it's not that his presence leaves us or goes away from us. He's always with us. He is for us. He's continuously with us, sustaining us. If God were to withdraw his presence or his love for us, even for an instant, it's not that we would die. It's that we would cease to exist. He sustains us at every moment of our existence.
Again, 888-318-7884. We're talking specifically about the love of Jesus and the form of that love not being like human love. It's a different kind of love. So you, as one of the Sisters of Life, I mean, part of your whole charism as an order is about caring for life in all its stages and making sure that we all kind of get the message that we're supposed to be caring for life in all its stages. But part of what you do, you accompany and spend a great deal of time with women who have aborted babies. And so what have you learned there about the love of Jesus? Because I think a lot of people think that because the Catholic Church teaches that you can never take the life of an innocent child, and to do so is a grave sin, that means that the church stands in a position of kind of criticism and judgment against those who have done such things.
No, it's true. I think it gets very confusing in people's minds and hearts, and that's why it's so important that we tell people over and over again that there's no sin too great for God's mercy. that Jesus came for sinners. He came for us. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. He came, and that's good news for all of us because we're all sinners and we're all poor and we're weak and we need his mercy and his love. And I experienced that so deeply and profoundly in our Hope and Healing mission to women who are suffering after abortion. So often, as you say, women who've had abortions feel as though they cannot be forgiven or they can't be welcomed back into the church. But this isn't further from the truth. I see over and over again on our retreats and our work with these women that God, and whenever they ask Jesus to come into their lives, he comes with his mercy and his healing. And the redemption is so powerful and so beautiful. So often we have host these retreats for women and they'll come on a day of prayer and healing and maybe go to confession for the first time in 10, 20, 30, 50 years. And so often they walk out of that confessional renewed. It's like watching a resurrection take place. For years, maybe they were carrying around this burden of sin and shame. And the sacraments, the gift of the church and the arms of the church, we watch resurrections take place. The church loves us. The church loves women who are suffering.
It's so beautiful, and it speaks to every single person, because I think we also have a kind of self-centeredness in which we think what we've done is uniquely unlovable, makes us uniquely unlovable. So you got to somehow get people past that.
No, that's right. I think that's one of the ways the enemy works on our souls. He works in our minds and on our hearts. Before we sin, he tells us, oh, it's not a big deal. It's no problem. It's okay. Nobody will ever know. And then after, he's our best friend before we sin. And then after we sin, he becomes our worst enemy. He's the accuser. He's the liar. He's the father of lies. He tells us you can never be forgiven. If anyone ever found out about this, God will never forgive you. All these lies. And he locks people in chains of shame, really, telling them that they are bad. So really, the message of mercy is so necessary for all of us in this world. Each and every one of us needs this message of mercy every day.
Indeed.
Really, the just man. Yeah.
888-318-7884. I'm going to get to callers momentarily here. We'll let you ask questions for Sister Maristella. But is there something in the New Testament that stands out to you that you find reminds you of this unshakable love of Jesus? That I love it when you say Jesus doesn't love you for what you do, what you have, what you accomplish, what you look like. There's something so relieving about that, because you can just go, okay, like, it's not about me. He loves because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. And I can trust in that. Is there, for you, what, you know, brings that alive again when you experience it in the New Testament, in the stories of Jesus?
Yes, so many places, so many ways, all over. I'm thinking of the Gospel of Matthew a lot lately. The Gospel of Matthew begins, in the first or second chapter, Matthew identifies Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. And then at the very last words of that gospel are, behold, I am with you always. So he gives us the promise of his presence continuously. And then so that's kind of like the bookends of the whole gospel. But within it, and within the gospel, over and over again, you see Jesus calling us while we were yet sinners. He called Matthew, while the tax collector, precisely at the place, in the moment, right, where he was a betrayer. You know, so those stories are incredible to me. The raising from the dead. I mean, is there even a greater sign of sin than death? Sin is death in our souls, a mortal sin especially. And so he raises souls from the dead. They didn't do anything to earn his love, those who were dead. He simply came in his being. He's life himself. And he brings new life. And it brings him joy to do that.
That's right. It does. It does. And like, I'm so glad you mentioned the call of St. Matthew, because it's such a tiny little part of Matthew's own gospel, but so profound. And you have these groups, you have the Peter and all the disciples, and you've got the Pharisees and the Sadducees over on the other hand, and none of them understand why Jesus calls Matthew.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It's mysterious. It's a mystery of his love. It's a mystery of his mercy. And one thing I learned this year, it was very fascinating to me, that Matthew places his own conversion story in the midst of all the miracle stories. So there's a total of 10 miracle stories in that section, healings, all different variety of things, these 10 miracles. And Matthew's own story, his own calling, is the 10th of those miracles. He saw his whole life and the mystery of this mercy, that who am I that God called me? He knew he was a sinner, and yet Jesus looked at him, loved him, right, and he rose.
Amen. 888-318-7884. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and let callers talk. And if this is something that's hard for you, if this is a message that's hard for you to process, I would say Sister Maristella is a wonderful person to talk to about that. Because for some of us, it can be very hard to process. And many go years, even decades, not able to say, he loves me. And if that's a problem in your life, give us a call, 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and that means a new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, has dropped. You can check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics, now available every Wednesday at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Wherever you are in the world, you can access the EWTN Global Catholic Network. It's everywhere. You can get EWTN's great Catholic programming on your car radio, at home on your TV, computer, or smart speaker. With EWTN's app, you can take EWTN everywhere, on your phone or mobile device. If you want your news in print, turn to EWTN's paper of record, the National Catholic Register. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and so happy to be with you and so happy to get to share Sister Maristella with you, one of the Sisters of Life. They do magnificent work, as so many women religious do, and we're always so happy when we have we get to share. I hate to say it, but I in my own heart, I kind of feel like sometimes women religious get a bad break in popular culture, and you know, but when you... So a little bit of reality is good to meet women who have dedicated themselves to sharing the mercy and love of Jesus Christ. You really always find yourself amazed and pleased that you have encountered those women. So we're very happy to have Sister Maristella with us. She'll be talking at our conference, and we're talking about the love of Jesus. The Sisters of Life do a lot of work on helping those who have suffered through an abortion of their own and need the healing love of Jesus, as we all do. And so from that experience, Sister Maristella shares with us maybe those stories that help us have confidence in that love of Jesus. Again, 888-318-7884 is our number. To start with our callers, we'll head to Harold in Maryland. Harold, I am told your call is a little hard to hear, so try to speak up as clearly as you can and go right to your question for Sister.
Yeah, hello, can you hear me?
Not very well, so go ahead, speak up.
Oh, man. Okay, I'll try to speak up. Yeah, since it's up to Sister Maristella, about this topic, it was very, it's a very timely. I feel like I've been struggling to trust that Jesus loves me.
You know, and what? And you'd like some help from Sister on that?
Yeah, and because sometimes I'm physically disabled, so it's a little bit difficult sometimes to feel that because I struggle with like loneliness as well.
Oh, and, God bless you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to you, and we'll make a little conversation out of it. It's just difficult to hear. So, Sister Maristella, for those who didn't, or who I think you could hear, but for those who couldn't quite make out, our caller Harold is disabled himself, experiences loneliness, and struggles with trusting that Jesus loves him.
Well, thanks so much for your call, Harold, and for being in touch. And, you know, it's such a mysterious thing, suffering. And it sounds like God's invited you into a particular relationship with him on the cross, where Jesus shows his love for the world in his supreme moment of love on the cross. And he's invited you into that in a particular way. You know what it makes me think of? I have a friend of our community, who was telling our sisters, he's also suffers a disability. And during the time of the pandemic last year, when not people weren't able to go to Mass, many people were learning to make spiritual communions for the first time. And he told many of our sisters that we should be making spiritual communions hundreds of times a day. This is like the act of faith that Jesus is with us. And so when we can't, when we don't even feel it, when we don't believe it, when we suffer loneliness, we can make an act of faith that Jesus, I believe you're with me. Jesus, though I can't receive you now in Holy Communion, I invite you into my heart. And this is a powerhouse of grace, because when we make this act of faith, we touch God. We touch God with our faith, and grace flows into our souls. So, I don't know, Harold, I just thank you for your courage and trying to trust and getting up again, even when you feel weak, and looking for Jesus and looking to make eye contact with him in your suffering. You must bring so much joy to the heart of God and how you've accepted your suffering in love. And so I'll pray for you that you continue to be a light for others.
Harold, go ahead. We'll do our very best to hear what you have to say with your response first, Sister Maristella.
Yeah, thank you for that, Sister. Thank you so much. And I really, I do believe that's true, but it's just hard to feel it, you know, and the awareness of that is difficult. But
yes,
I, you know, and I know that all the sisters of life are praying for me. My sister is one of the sisters as well.
So your sister is one of Sister Maristella's sisters?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm Sister Maristella.
Harry Gomes, I'm so happy to hear your voice. I was actually thinking of you today.
Well, Harold, what do you, I'm curious as to what you make of what Sister said about making an act of faith, because I personally find that very difficult, what she just said, but also very fruitful, that I know you're with me, Jesus. I trust in you, Jesus, that kind of act of faith when the feelings are not there.
Well, I have sacred images, so I have a crucifix nearby, and I have the picture of Divine Mercy as well. And I just, you know, I look at those, and I also have made a consecration to Our Lady. So I ask Our Lady to strengthen my trust, to give me her trust. And I feel that she does. And even though it's hard sometimes, I feel like her trust is in Jesus, is sustaining.
What
I mean, I'm sharing in that.
Harold, it's an extraordinary testimony that you've given. A beautiful testimony. I feel like you called to ask us a question, and then you just ennobled everyone who's listening. So I feel very grateful. Sister, did you want to say anything else to Harold?
No, Harold is a prayer warrior. He's been praying for our community and for me for many, many years. And so I'm grateful for his witness of trust, even in the midst of suffering. It's powerful, and I know he's won many graces.
Thank you, Sister.
Harold, would you like us to send you any of our books? I'd love to send you a book if you'd like one. I don't.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right, I'll tell you what. Well, I'm not going to play the game on the radio that I played yesterday, and I lost every time. Nobody would take my book. So I'm going to just hand you over to Thomas on the phones, and you, he'll tell you some of the titles of our books, and you tell him which one you want. Okay, Harold?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you, brother. Thank you very much for your really inspiring witness. Thank you. Our number is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Sister Maristella. She is a Sister of Life. And again, I'll just keep saying it. If you don't know about the Sisters of Life, one of the one of those orders of women religious who are doing all those things that we all say the world would be a better place if we all lived like that. And there are many, many women religious doing that, and Sister Maristella among them, here to talk with us about the love of Jesus today. 888-318-7884. Sister, are you up for another call?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's go to Rob in Washington, watching on Facebook. Rob, very happy to have your call. Go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella.
Yeah, thank you. I lead a Bible study, and I want, there's a community at the Bible study, pretty strong community, a lot of faith Catholics. But there are others in my neighborhood that I know are not living kind of virtuous or Catholic lives. Some would, in the community would even say they're kind of involved in crime and may have, you know, a past with crime and drugs. I want to evangelize and kind of, you know, kind of reach out to the sinner, so to speak, as Jesus did. But I also want to consider, you know, my safety and the safety of the community. How do I do both? I mean, is there a line that needs to be drawn somewhere? Or how do you balance love and also the safety of others around you who might be concerned about certain individuals and getting into a community?
Okay. Sister,
no, that's a really good question. I think I try to understand the situation. It sounds like, well, first of all, I just want to commend you on the fact that you recognize that these people in your neighborhood, maybe they've done some things that are against the law or criminal activity, but yet at the same time, you desire for them to come to know God and you want to evangelize them even. So that in itself is amazing. And that's just powerful because we know that every human heart was made for God. And every human heart is searching for him. And so the fact that you want to reach out to these people is wonderful. So I always say, I mean, we all know this, and it's so foundational to begin with prayer. Jesus tells us that without me, you can do nothing. So we need him to do anything. And so to begin with prayer and trust that he'll guide you in how to best serve these people and to serve your neighborhood. So you want to be charitable and loving, but you also need to be prudent, as you said, for your safety and the safety of your friends. And so to entrust it all to his divine mercy and pray that divine mercy over everyone in your neighborhood. And I'm sure that God will lead you and guide you.
What do you think, Rob?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I mean, that's it's a tough one. I mean, You want to be careful about vulnerable people. That's something we've learned in the Catholic Church. So you want to be careful who you're exposing to whom, and show prudence on that. But man, we were just talking about Matthew. Jesus called some unsavory characters.
Mm-hmm. It's so true, and there's a certain power in invitation. You know, I remember when I was in college, it never occurred to me to go to a Bible study, but then a friend invited me and I went. And just that power of a personal invitation, that it can be so meaningful to people.
Indeed. 888-318-7884, our number if you have questions. And as you have heard some of our callers today, perhaps this is something that's hard for you personally to believe or accept, or maybe there's someone in your life who you would like to know the love of Jesus, as our caller Rob does. If you'd like some advice from someone who spends her life helping people to experience and trust in the love of Jesus, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Have you encountered the person for whom it's almost like their cross is that they don't trust? They just cannot bring themselves to trust that God loves me too. You know, sure, God may love everybody else, but the act of trust that he loves me is a different animal than believing that he loves everybody else. It's a bridge that some have a hard time crossing. Do you experience that with the folks you work with?
Oh, certainly. I think, yeah, definitely. And over time, I've encountered many people who maybe even talk about God's love to other people, but aren't able to experience it in their own hearts. And but I have seen God work miracles in some of those who felt the furthest from God. I've seen over time that God has a way of walking through walls. He can walk through all the walls in our hearts, those that we don't even know are there, or that we put up, that prevent us from experiencing His love, His mercy. And so I've seen over the years, and in my working with mainly with women suffering after the experience of abortion or from various wounds, that over time, as they continuously dispose themselves, as they continuously open their hearts, as they make acts of faith and trust, He always shows up. He always comes through, and His love never fails.
Amen, sister. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, our number. And right now at Catholic Answers, we've got a free ebook for you. So if you want to check it out, go to shop.catholic.com. And get this month's free ebook right now at shop.catholic.com. Your calls, welcome. If you or someone you know is struggling to embrace and trust in the love of Jesus, perfect hour for you. Sister Maristella of the Sisters of Life, our guest, 888-318-7884. Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and He desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of His will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today, or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
This is Dr. David Anders. Is God an angry God?
We answer questions like these every day on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And our guest is Sister Maristella of the Sisters of Life. She'll be one of the speakers at our conference. If you want to know about the conference coming up next month, at the end of next month, always the last weekend of September here in San Diego, except when they shut the world down. If the world gets shut down, we don't have it. Other than that, the last weekend of September, CatholicAnswersConference.com is where you can go to find out about it. If you'd like to know more about what Sister Maristella does, you can just go on the internet and type in Sisters of Life. Do you want to give a website out, Sister?
Sure. Sistersoflife.org, all one word, sistersoflife.org.
All right. A bunch of folks on the line for you. Our topic with Sister today is the love of Jesus, the particular love of Jesus, the kind of love that you can't get rid of. You can't shake it. He's never going to stop no matter what you do. He's going to always love you. And every time you turn back, He's going to welcome you back. Well, that's a kind of love that's hard to trust in, if that's something that you deal with or someone that you know deals with. If you'd like to know more about how to share that love of Jesus with others, all welcome here. 888-318-7884. We're going to go to Concord, California now. Norman in Concord, California, listening, it says, on Simple Radio, which I am not familiar with. but I am familiar with Concord, California. Norman, thanks very much for your call. We're very glad to have you. Go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella.
This Simpler Radio is it's an app, actually.
Oh, it's an app. So okay.
You were there, yeah. So anyway, so my question is, I hope I don't offend God with it, but I really have a problem lately with the definition of God as God is love. It seemed with that definition kind of seemed like impersonal. It's kind of like robotic, in other words. And you said something that it's not actually, Jesus loves me not because of me, but because he is love. And I know I should have a different reaction to it because he died for me and all that, but it seemed like, you know, I don't know if you're I don't, I'm.
It seems impersonal. Would that be a fair?
Robotic.
Robotic.
Or it's just like, it's just his nature.
I gotcha.
He can't help himself. And, you know, I hope you understand my question. And,
well, let's let Sister take a shot, and I'll come back and check and see if the answer satisfies you. All right, Norman?
Okay, yeah, no problem.
Sister?
Yeah, thanks. I think I got the question, Norman, because what you're saying, I think, sounds like, well, it doesn't have anything to do with me personally. Like, he is just a loving God, and therefore, he's kind of sort of obliged to love me. Maybe that's what you're getting at, or that it's somehow not personal, or, I think that's how I understood it to be, maybe the way you're asking it. But I think if we consider just the fact that God loved you into existence. He created you actually out of nothing, absolutely nothing. That he imagined everything about you, what you would look like, all your gifts and talents, what family you would be brought into, what moment in history, everything about you. And then at a certain moment in history, he chose you to exist. So his love isn't impersonal. It's actually, he chose you. He willed for you to exist. And from the very moment of your conception, he's never stopped loving you. And it's not you in an impersonal way. It's you with all the unique aspects of your personality, of your conditions, of your, when you came into life, all of that. He takes all of that into account and makes a permanent choice for you. That is his love.
Now,
so I don't know. Does that, yeah.
Norman?
Yes.
What do you think?
It kind of makes sense. It's kind of like he's just in love with me. Is that, you know, is that a fair statement to make?
Yes.
He's just in love with me from the beginning, from the very time that he conceived of me. Mm-hmm. Is that fair interpretation?
Well, he came down from heaven,
no.
Became a man, died on a cross. It sounds like somebody who's in love.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'll try to... you know, I'll try to process it more, but I know, you know, I cannot, you know, I cannot understand this in one, you know, in one instance.
No, this is something you're struggling with, Norman.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Maybe because, you know, I'm not a loving person myself. I only love those who are lovable to me. So I'm like, hey, I want God to love me because I'm lovable.
I see.
It's just screwed up thinking, I guess.
Well, maybe. I don't know about that. I don't mean to be self-promoting in this, but I wrote a book about Jesus, and it's got one chapter in it. Chapter 22 is about his friendship with Peter. And everybody who's read the book has told me that's the only good chapter. Well, no, they didn't say it that way. They say that's the best chapter in the book. And it has to do with this personal desire of Jesus for intimate friendship with ordinary human beings. And so I'd like to send you a copy of the book, Norman, and you don't have to read the whole thing, but maybe try chapter 22, see if it helps a little bit.
Sure. That'll be great. Thank you.
You know what, Norman? Thank you for accepting my book. So many people have turned it down. Hang on. We'll get your information and we'll send it to you. 888-318-7888. Will you get Norman's information? 888-318-7884. Our guest, Sister Maristella, here to talk about the love of Jesus. Let's go to Kevin in Canada, listening on the new and improved Catholic Answers Live app. Kevin, we're very happy to have you. Go ahead with your question for Sister.
Thank you so much. The Sisters of Life are awesome. I first met you guys in Denver Release Day.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's where Sister is. She's a sister in Denver.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I remember you guys were on the bus, and it was amazing. You guys were dancing and singing. It was so joyful. It was just it was beautiful. So awesome. You guys.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
I'm just calling about something that I really struggle with on a daily, moment-to-moment basis, where I feel like almost 99% of the time, and this could be, you know, maybe more counseling is necessary, I don't know, but I understand that Jesus loves me, and I feel more of a connection to the Father than I do to Jesus. But anyway, I feel like a failure 99% of the time, and I have a hard time allowing His love to penetrate my heart in that sentiment. And so I was just curious about what kind of advice or what sort of, how do you see an issue like that? And I'm sure you've heard something like this before.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, sometimes our feelings give us good information, but we don't want to live out of our feelings. And you probably have heard this before and you probably know it. But sometimes our feelings can be quite strong and drag us down. But we know that our intellects can guide us in those moments, and our intellects can guide our feelings. And so we want to, over and over again in the scriptures, over and over again, we see God's love for His people, the promise of His love, His faithfulness. And so what I like to do in moments when I'm tempted to disbelieve in His love or tempted to doubt His mercy, I like to recall the truth, to remember certain passages of the scriptures where Jesus says, I am with you. I love you. You are mine. I like to use those almost as like a weapon to beat back the throws and the arrows of the enemy. Because the enemy, Satan, always wants us to distrust in God and disbelieve in God. And so if we can fight back with God's word and the promises of His love, we're stronger. We might not feel different immediately, but there's a shift that happens when we make this act of faith.
What do you think of that?
I think that's great. That's excellent advice. Yeah. That's good advice. I don't know how much more she can elaborate on it, but that's really, really good. I know one scripture verse was kind of given to me was Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Uh-huh. That's a good reminder, Sister. I often forget to use scripture to combat those thoughts. The thoughts really feel like really, really strong in such a way, like it's my identity is I'm a failure. It's sort of trying to go around that a little bit. Anyway.
Yeah, it's so true. I know I have a friend. Thanks for sharing that. And thanks for your honesty and openness. We have a friend of our community who's going through a really, really tough time. And in the midst of it, he wrote out, every morning he reads this, like 10 identity statements, just reminding him of the truth of who he is. I'm a son of God, or I'm a daughter of God, whatever it is. And then he would say, I am loved, I am chosen, I am known by God, I am in Christ, or however these things. So maybe you could make a list of identity statements for yourself, just to remind yourself of the truth of who you are in God. And then it'll become, it's like a muscle. The more you practice it and exercise it and activate it, the more real it becomes. And the lies will have less power, I believe.
Kevin?
Excellent. Thank you so much, you guys.
Yeah, but you know what? Now that Sister said that, I have a book to recommend. And it's not a Catholic Answers book, but our colleague, Joe Heschmeyer, wrote a book called Who Am I, Lord? Finding Your Identity in Christ. And it is a beautiful little book. And I am not sure how you get Catholic books in Canada. I don't even know if they allow Catholic books in Canada. But if you can find Who Am I, Lord? Finding Your Identity in Christ, I think it will also help. And I'd send it to you if I could, but I can't.
That's okay. Once they get to the border, they thaw them out, and then they send them to us.
Okay. All right. I knew there had to be some kind of process in Canada. Thanks, Kevin.
Some process, yeah. So who am I, Lord? Thank you very much.
Okay. 888-318-7884, our number. And actually, now that I'm saying that, I don't know why I'm giving out the number, because all the lines are full. We got so many people who want to talk to Sister Maristella. So let's super fast take a quick break, and we'll come back and just do nothing but calls for Sister Maristella for the rest of the hour.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Hey, this is Michael O'Neill, the Miracle Hunter. I'll be delving into the fascinating world of miracles and taking you on a hunt that explores the greatest mysteries and marvels of the Catholic Church. I'll be examining what constitutes a miracle, how miracles are investigated and approved, and the role they play in the lives of the faithful. We'll look at the miracles of the Gospels and early Christianity, considering the claims of the miraculous in our own modern age.
The Miracle Hunter, Saturday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Let's not do this again. Let's never schedule an hour with Sister Maristella. We got to make it 2 hours. We've got to get her to commit, stay both hours, because we had a million calls for her now. And how are we going to get through all that? Sister Maristella, a sister of life, here to talk with us about the love of Jesus, and all the folks on the line have questions about the love of Jesus. So we're going to just move our way through them. We'll go to Damon in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on Holy Family Radio. Damon, we're very glad to have you here. Go ahead with your question for Sister.
God bless you, Cy. Thank you for your faithfulness to your ministry.
Oh, thank you,
Damon. God bless you, Mary. Thank you for your ministry, too, Sister. Thank you.
Thank you.
Earlier caller had mentioned God is love. I just want to draw that out a little bit further here. Did Jesus stop being love when Jesus quoted Psalm 22, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" I think Jesus took on my sin. So when I sin, God abandons me too. Is that true?
No. When we sin, God continues to love us. He continues to reach out to us. He continues to come to us. He calls us, and he came for us when we're yet sinners. And he continuously invites us back and invites us back to the Father. We know that on the cross that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? But that psalm ends in praise. Jesus, when he was on the cross, knew and he loved each one of us. And he had his gaze continuously fixed on the Father. You could say that was the supreme moment of love in his life. That's the supreme moment where he makes a gift of himself to the Father for each one of us. So it seems like he's been abandoned by God, but in truth, he's fully in the Father's will, fully turned to the Father, gazing upon the Father, and offering himself to the Father for the sake of the world, for the sake of each one of us.
What do you think, Damon?
Do you think the psalmist is just saying intellectually, yeah, I know that God really never moved, that, but do you think Jesus actually felt the Father abandon him?
Those are two separate questions, because the psalm is written hundreds of years before Jesus. So Psalm 22 is what Jesus is quoting. So let me ask you that, Sister. Do you think the psalmist really felt forsaken by God, and do you think Jesus really felt forsaken by God?
No, that's a really great question. The psalmist is, I believe, that's a Psalm of David, and so we know that the psalms contain in them every human experience and emotion, and that's why they're so good for us to pray with, because when we pray with the psalms, we find words to the unspoken things that are on our heart. And we can pray in all these different ways. I think St. Ambrose calls it the gymnasium of the soul, that we can enter into it and experience everything and then bring it into a place of prayer and bring it into contact with God. So the psalmist, I imagine, did feel that, as all of us in different moments of our lives have felt lost and felt abandoned. But Christ had the beatific vision. And so he was fully human and fully divine at every moment of his life. And therefore, he had his gaze fixed on the Father. Yet, at the same time, it's this mystery. It's a profound mystery. He took on every human suffering from the beginning of time till the end of time. And so it's a paradox. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around this reality. But we know that Jesus experienced the fullness of suffering while continuously fixed on the Father and the Father's love for him.
I feel comforted by that. Thank you.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Damon. Thank you very, very much. Our number at, well, why am I giving it? Oh, yeah, well, you try it. 888-318-7884. But let's go to St. Petersburg, Florida, listening on EWTN. Elizabeth in St. Petersburg. Go ahead with your question about the love of Jesus for our guest, Sister Maristella.
Okay, I signed on about a quarter after the hour, and Harold was telling his story, and I want to be like him. I'm going on 27 years of MS, and it's getting worse.
Oh.
And I recently had to, you know, call 911, and they're my buddies. I've got the retired neighbor just across the alley. He comes over every morning. It just started yesterday. He'll get me out of bed every morning, you know, pop me into my wheelchair because I'm learning to transfer, and it's every day it's a struggle. So,
and 27 years.
Oh, 20, and it's getting worse.
Yeah.
And I'm taking all, you know, I'm doing the protocol. I'm taking all the right supplements, and but I get angry, and I say bad things, and I look at the picture of Jesus, and I say, how can you do this to me? I thought you'd love me, but it doesn't seem, you know, I don't have any evidence. And I know he does, but I get so angry, and I come crawling back, and I want to be like Harold. And I just want to, you know, I'm in the process of accepting, and everything I've heard today was very encouraging. It's going to be time, it's going to be hard, but he's always there, and I just need to stop getting angry. And just in those moments, and I've done it actually once or twice in a bad moment when I'm struggling, say, okay, God, thank you. I'm here. I know you're here. But I don't do that all the time. Instead, I get angry. Instead of saying, praise God, I'm glad I'm, you know, having to call 911 again. You know, yeah. Gone crash on the floor again.
Sister,
I am dusting the floor.
Yeah, right. Right. Sister, how about your response, and we'll come back to Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth, first of all, just thanks so much for calling in. When I hear your name, Elizabeth, House of God, in a mysterious way, it makes just me just think how present Jesus is to you in your suffering and with you. And the fact that you aspire to grow in it, that you aspire to be like Harold and to look for Christ and to trust when it's difficult, that's the Holy Spirit in you. And I just want to thank you for your suffering. Thank you for your witness, because what you're carrying, you're winning graces, I'm sure, for so many souls. You're winning graces for those around you. And I just want to thank you. And for the times when you're victorious, praise God. And for more the times you fail, I praise Jesus too, because he's going to come. He wants to be with you in your suffering and your weakness. And so thank you so much for sharing and for your witness. And I'm rooting for you, Elizabeth, as you make your journey to Christ.
Elizabeth?
Thank you. I'm teary-eyed. Thank you. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, follow Harold's example and don't wish it away and don't pray for a cure. I don't pray for that or healing. I'd be delighted if it happened, but I don't want to block the graces, and I have to stop getting so angry, and I need to start saying thank you, even in the hardest moments. Remember to say thank you. I'm good. I'm safe. I'm under my roof.
So. Praise God, Elizabeth. That's so beautiful. It makes me think of something that Our founder, Cardinal O'Connor, used to say when he would visit priests who were in the hospital or priests who were dying or sick, he would beg for their prayers and tell them that they were the most powerful priests in the diocese. Why? Because Jesus didn't save the world when he was preaching, teaching, healing, performing miracles, but when he was helpless and vulnerable and dying on the cross. And so there's this profound mystery that suffering unleashes love, and there's a certain power in suffering. And so I ask you for your prayers. I beg for your prayers for myself, for my community, for others who don't have the light of faith that you do. And I know that your prayers are powerful and that Jesus has chosen you for this particular mission of suffering, and he wants to be victorious with you and in you. And so I will be praying for you, and I ask for your prayers for me.
I'm on it. I'll do it.
Oh, God bless you, Elizabeth. What again, such profound witness and such beautiful witness. And I don't know if you want a Catholic Answers book, but I'll send you to Thomas, and he'll ask you if you want a book. We'll send you something. There's no way we could compensate you for such a beautiful call, and I'm grateful for it. Thank you very, very much. And call back sometime. We'd love to hear how you're doing, good or bad. We'd love to hear how you're doing, Elizabeth. 888. We'll have to have Sister Maristella back on, huh? Because why do all the good people call when she's on? Why do all the good? We need 2 hours of this, not just 1 hour of this. Sister, I'm publicly shaming you into coming for 2 hours next time.
I'd be happy to. It's great to be with you.
Jack in Cincinnati's next, Sacred Heart Radio. Jack, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Sister Maristella.
Well, it's not so much a question. I've been an extraordinary minister for over 40 years now. And the Lord talked to me in church, and he says, come follow me and have patience with my Father. And I've been following him ever since. And each time things have changed. Now I do, at a hospital, I do communion, and I pray with everyone, no matter what religion they are. And I also go to a nursing home. And, you know, I find in my heart that I feel that I am joyful most of the time, all the time. And we can't get people to come and serve these poor people who really need God at the point of their low times in the hospital, needing, going to have an operation or something like that, and just bringing the word of God, the love of God to them, really beams them up, helps them. And some places that I go that there's younger people that are having problems, or even older people having problems. And you see them looking forward to seeing somebody to come to bring the word of God.
So, Sister, how can we get more people to do that, I think, is where Jack is going. I mean, he's saying he got so much joy out of it. How do we get more people to do it?
That's awesome. No, I love it. Jack, 40 years of doing this. This is beautiful. And I loved your testimony that one day you heard the voice of God in church. He called you and asked you to follow him, and you did. That's beautiful. And it's awesome. And I think, you know, Mother Teresa used to say that joy is a net that catches many souls. So maybe God's asking you to share the witness of with some of your parishioners or your friends, just to share in a subtle way, or a way to pray for the opportunity to share that, you know, how much joy it's brought you to bring Jesus himself present, body, blood, soul, and divinity to the hospitals, to the sick, and to those who are suffering. I mean, once in a while, if you have an opportunity to share that with someone, it might touch their heart in a way where they want that, and they want to participate in that. So I'll pray that more people join you on this mission, because what more would you want to do with your time in your life than bring Jesus to others and to see them experience his presence and his mercy? So I'll pray for you, Jack, and I'll pray for all those out there who God is calling in the same way, that they'll respond in the same way that you have with fidelity for so many years.
Thanks, Jack. Thank you so much. Sister Maristella from the Sisters of Life has been our guest this hour. If you'd like to know more about them and what they do, sistersoflife.org. And if you'd like to meet Sister Maristella, she'll be here at our conference in less than a month. We're really looking forward to you coming out.
Thanks. Looking forward to it too.
And you know what? I think you would agree with Harold. This life that you have chosen, it brings joy. It's worth young women and young men considering a vocation.
Oh, absolutely. It's a privilege. It's an extraordinary privilege.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you. Coming up next, Joe Heschmeyer, who we mentioned in this hour. I hope I get some points from him for that. We'll do open forum next hour. So if you're on the line, go ahead and stay on the line. Joe will take your call. And if you've got a question, any question at all about the faith, 888-318-7884.